Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of Conducting Conversations. Tonight we are featuring someone known as the original Music Man, Meredith Willson. Now, Meredith Willson died in 1985, so he's not really here as a guest. So I have a substitute guest, and that the general manager of WCRI, Jamie Jones, is here with me. Welcome, Jamie.
Hello, Mike.
Nice to have you with us. And Jamie is serving two roles, not only as the general manager and my counterpart in tonight's program, but Jamie and I are very pleased and honored to be part of the Music Man presentation that's going to take place at Theater by the Sea. And Jamie and I have been in serious rehearsal mode now for about a week or so.
What an eye-opener.
Right. Both of us are leaving our comfortable studios here in Exeter, Rhode Island, to venture down to Theater by the Sea to start rehearsing and working with this very talented cast that has been assembled. And not only are they talented, Jamie, they're a whole lot younger than us.
No, they're not. Yes, they are.
They're very
But they are very talented. So not to put a plug in here, but it's worth seeing. These guys are incredible.
Music Man is in rehearsal right now, and we will be for another week and a half, and that's about all the time we'll have for that. And then it will open for previews a week from Wednesday and Thursday, and then the grand opening on a week from Friday night at Theater by the Sea in Matunuck. If you'd like to get information about the show, you can do so by going to theaterbythesea.com. All the show times are on there. We'll be doing 34 shows over a period of 4 weeks. Yeah, I know, and I've still been coming in early in the morning, as has Jamie for the past rehearsal days, and we'll continue to do that. So we'll be going from, like, you know, 5:30 in the morning till midnight every day.
Yeah, that's not a problem at our age.
That's right. But let's get to the real subject of the show. Next Sunday night, we hope to have Bill Haney here with one of the stars from Music Man to talk about the actual production, listen to some music from that. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. I was involved with Music Man many years ago on a national tour, and actually have been involved in one way or another throughout almost my whole life with the show. But on that tour, a man gave me a recording of Meredith Willson and him and his wife playing the music that he had written to try to promote it and sell it to one of the Broadway producers. So we're going to take you back in time into the 1950s when Meredith Willson was just starting his musical career. And we're going to use a lot of the script that has come right out of this CD. And I'm just going to preface it by reading from it. Okay, so he talks about how he grew up and so forth and so on. But this is the liner notes. Jamie, why don't you start where it says Meredith Willson wrote the music.
Yes, it says Meredith Willson wrote the music and lyrics and libretto of The Music Man. All delightful. Now he has written a book about writing the show. Equally delightful. But he doesn't know the territory. It's filled with the same charm and humor as his previous books and the show about which he writes.
Now, this was the book kind of tells, this is just a few episodes from the book, and we're going to get to listen to some of his creative piano playing and his singing and his wife singing, and I'll tell you how this all happened. It was 1951 when the most successful team of producers on Broadway musical comedies to date telephoned me, I'm playing the part of Meredith Willson,
Very telephoned good.
Me and about writing a show for them. Their names were Ernie Martin and Cy Fenner. They said, now see, I hesitated. That was a dramatic pause. They said,
that was very dramatic.
Mayor. Now, I didn't know they called him Mayor, but that's what it says here. We think you could write a musical comedy. And I say, about what? And they say, about your Iowa boyhood, or boyhood.
Yeah.
See, I'm reading from a very, very hard-to-read script here.
That's how old it is.
Yeah, it's very old. With the common touch you have occasionally demonstrated, as in the song you recently wrote for Tallulah's radio program. Now, Tallulah, Jamie, it was a little before your time. You ever heard that name before?
I have heard that name before.
She was a very popular star in the early 1950s, in the 40s and into the 50s, and Meredith Willson wrote her theme song, which I thought it might be fun to listen to right now. A few years after it appeared on Tallulah's radio program, Kate Smith recorded this version.
Whether near or far away, may you find that long-awaited golden day today. May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune ten times. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. May you walk with sunlight shining, with a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining of every cloud you see. Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been. May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Certainly an iconic song recorded by an iconic artist, Kate Smith. Now back to the script. Well, at that point, Meredith just told the producers he couldn't possibly write a musical score, so he he decided he would show them by taking a piece of paper, and on the piece of paper he wrote Act 1, Scene 1, and then just left the paper empty, just as a reminder that never would he be able to write a musical comedy or any kind of musical about his Iowa background. And then a few years went by.
Yes, 6 years later, Meredith Willson had his musical comedy finished. The producer who had originally suggested it had long since given up. So we find Meredith and his wife, Renee, in a New York apartment on one sleety December midnight, about to audition the show for one of Broadway's most famous names, Kermit Bloomgarden, producer.
There he was, Kermit Bloomgarden, in my apartment. December 19th, it was, 1956. The pleasantries were shown. Nobody really wanted to be there anyway on such a night that was miserable outside. But an hour went by after the small talk, and someone finally said, "Let's go." The New York steam heat was on full blast in spite of this sleety night. The window was open near the piano, which let in the street noise from down on 7th Avenue. "Pretty stuffy in here," somebody said. They were all smoking, you know. I didn't say any more, and neither did anybody else. Somebody closed the window. I hit a few chords on the piano to simulate an overture. "Curtain up," I says, stealing a last look at Mr. Bloomgarden. He favored me with what has since been learned is a legendary look in the trade, the Bloomgarden look, which, according to Thornton Wilder, for one, would tunnel through an Alp. I breathed in and started with the train scene. You can talk, you can talk, you can talk, you can talk, you can bicker, you can talk, 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 bicker, 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 you can talk all you wanna, but it's different than it was. And then Renee, my wife, at the top of her lungs, simulating extra volume and higher pitch of a train crossing. "No, it ain't. No, it ain't. But you gotta know the territory." Now we'll get to the actual recording of Meredith Willson and his wife, Renee. And Jamie, I'm thinking about how we're being involved in this show, and you and I are both going to be in that train scene. That's a lot of fun. But a lot of energy is used, right?
Yes, it is. It's just incredible how he thought it up. I mean, it's just still to this day, I think it's one of the favorite scenes ever done in a show.
It's called America's Perfect Musical because it has just about everything in it. And what we'll do now is take a short break, and then we'll get to the tracks where you actually hear Meredith playing the piano and singing his songs. And his wife, Renee. We'll listen to that right after these words. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Jamie Jones and talking about Meredith Willson and how he came to write the amazing musical Music Man. And now we take you to Meredith Willson's apartment in New York in the early 1950s.
Our story starts back in 1912 in a little Iowa town called River City, when a fellow named Harold Hill, Professor Harold Hill, if you don't mind, bounces into town on the morning of the 4th of July. Now, Professor Hill comes to the town to the kids. Also uniforms, also instruction books, also lessons, promising at the end of the summer to form a band. And as he cut him a swath, why, you'd never dream that this fellow doesn't know one note from another. I did forget to tell you, though, how he got into the town. He came on the train, along with seven or eight other salesmen. Of course, like everybody else, when you're on a train, you talk like a train. I'd like to show you what I mean. Renee, dear, will you please go ch-ch-ch every once in a while to give me a chance to grab a breath?
Yes, sir.
You can talk, you can talk, you can bicker, you can talk, you can talk, 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 bicker, 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 you can talk all you want, but it's different than it was. No, it ain't, but you gotta know the territory.
Shh, 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 shh.
Why, it's a Model T. Ford made the trouble, made the people want to go, want to get up and go. 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 22, 23 miles to the county seat. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Who's going to patronize a little bitty 2x4 kind of store in a little bitty town anymore? What do you talk? You can talk. Baker, you can talk all you want, but it's different than it was.
No, it ain't, but you got to know the territory.
Rainey, you're supposed to just go shh.
Yes, sir. Can we do it again?
No, dear, we don't have to do it again now. Our hero, Harold Hill, gets off this train in River City, Iowa. Population 2,718, I believe. And the first thing that Harold Hill wants to do is to try to stir up a little trouble to call attention to himself. So we find him casting around for some local circumstance upon which to key such a nefarious opening maneuver, as you might say. And right off the bat, he happens to notice a new pool table being delivered into the local billiard parlor right there on the main street. Buttonholing the First River citizen to pass by, our professor has a crowd around him in no time at all. He says, friends, he says, you got trouble. Right here, I say trouble, right here in River City. Sure, I'm a billiard player, certainly mighty proud to say. I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help me cultivate a cool head, horse sense, and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? Well, just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a balk-line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pot. And I call that sloth, the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit. And he's listening to some big out-of-town Jasper hearing him tell about the horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they sit down right on a horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy sitting on Dan Patch, make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friend, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets on that table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum with a capital B. Rhymes with B, and that stands for pool. And all week long, a River City youth will be frittering away. Say, your young man will be frittering. Frittering away the noontime, supper time, short time too. Get the ball in a pocket, never mind getting dandelions pulled and the screen door patched to the beefsteak pounded. And never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Lots and lots of big trouble. I'm thinking of those kids in the Knickerbockers, shirt tail young ones, peeking in that smoke shop window after school. Trouble, right here in River City, with a capital T, rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm gonna be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while I'm loafing around that hall? Trying out Bebo, trying out Cubebs, trying out TaylorMades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're gonna cover up a telltale breath with Sin Sin one fine night. They leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the Army. That's libertine men, scarlet women, and ragtime, shameless music that'll drag your son and my daughter into the arms of a jungle animal instinct masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble, right here in River City, where the capital T rhymes with P and it stands for pool. You surely got trouble. Gotta figure out a way to keep the young moral after school. Our children trouble. That game with the 15 numbered balls, that's the devil's tool. You got trouble. Right here, say trouble, right here in River City with a capital T. Rhymes with P and that stands for cool. That was Rainey, of course, imitating our chorus of 24 voices. Well, to get my breath back, I will tell you about our hero's next move. His next move is to get on the good side of the local music teacher so that she won't expose him when she finds out that he doesn't know one note from another. She happens to be a young lady named Marion. Marion the librarian, in fact. She's the librarian all day, and she gives piano at night. I mean, she gives piano for any of the local children whose parents desire them to take. Did you have to take when you were a kid? When I was young, most of the kids in our neighborhood took, including me. After all, my mother gave, so I had to take. To get back to the story, though, Professor Hill has followed Miss Marion all over town this 4th of July day. and he has accomplished nothing as yet. We in the audience are a little more fortunate, however. We get to look in on her parlor early that evening while she is giving piano to little Amaryllis, a little neighbor girl from next door. Now, Amaryllis has very nicely played her exercises, and as a reward, she is now being permitted to play her crosshand piece. Little Amaryllis is already getting ready with that cross hand. Here she goes, up and over. In the meantime, Miss Marion goes to the window. It's a beautiful moonlight night. And she is stirred to a little reverie, as you might say, which gives us some kind of an insight into this nice young lady.
Good night, my someone. Good night, my love. Sleep tight, my someone. Sleep tight, my love. Our star is shining its brightest light. For good night, my love, for good night. Sweet dreams be yours, dear, if dreams there be. Sweet dreams to carry you close to me. I wish they may, and I wish they might. Now good night, my someone, good night. True love can be whispered from heart to heart. When lovers are parted, they say. But I must depend on a wish and a star as long as my heart doesn't know who you are. Sweet dreams be yours, dear, if dreams there be. Sweet dreams to carry you close to me. I wish they may, and I wish they might. Now good night, my someone. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Well, Rini, the only thing missing there was the crickets, along with that moonlight and that nice singing of Miss Marion. Back to Harold Hill again, and it's still the night of the 4th of July. Happens to be raining, so the evening celebration takes place in the high school gymnasium. And this is where the professor really gets his chance to tell the River Cityans how glorious and how glamorous and how shining it would be to have a band made up of their own kids parading down the main street in uniform. Johnny, Willie, Teddy, Fred, with the cymbals crashing and the trumpets blaring. Ta-da! Well, the song that Professor Hill uses to illustrate such a glittering parade stems from the same melody, by the way, that has just issued forth in the preceding scene from our music teacher. I must admit I did that on purpose to suggest that these two people have possibly more in common than meets the eye. Good night, my someone, good night, my love. 76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. 76 trombones played the counterpoint, while 110 cornets played the air. Then I modestly took my place as the one and only bass, and I umpired up and down the square. Now, the town is pretty captivated, I think would not be too strong a word, especially the middle-aged ladies who really get excited when the professor forms them into the Ladies Delsart Auxiliary for the classic dance, if you please. They do quite a lot of talking at their first meeting, but they don't have anything very good to say about Miss Marion. Maybe it's just because she's too pretty, but for whatever reason, they do gossip about her to Professor Hill, saying, among other things, that she advocates dirty books down at the library. I must tell you that they all wear those big 1912 hats, and when they get to gossiping, all these ladies, well, you know, their hats going up and the feathers flying, it sounds kind of like this. Pick-a-little, toggle-little, pick-a-little, toggle-little, cheep-cheep-cheep, toggle-lot, pick-a-little more. Pick-a-little, toggle-little, pick-a-little, toggle-little, cheep-cheep-cheep, toggle-lot, pick-a-little more. Pick-a-little, toggle-little, pick-a-little, toggle-little, cheep-cheep-cheep, toggle-lot, pick-a-little more. Pick-a-little, toggle-little, pick-a-little, toggle-little, cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep. Yes, the ladies say to Professor Hill, this Miss Marion advocates dirty books at the library. Chaucer, Rabelais, Balzac, cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep-cheep. And down the next block comes the school board. Well, the school board has hated each other for 15 years, but Professor Hill has, in the meantime, formed them into a barbershop quartet, and this is the result. Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies. We're going to leave you now. Farewell, ladies. Farewell, ladies. Farewell, ladies. We're going to leave you now. Harold, in the meantime, gets them so so engrossed in what they're doing, you know, the ladies and the school board, that he has a chance to slip into the library and make a little time with Marion, or at least try. In the meantime, however, we better find out a little more about Miss Marion and why she isn't more popular with the home folks, because I think I left you right at that point a minute or two ago. Marion, you know, hasn't even got a fella, and her mother is particularly annoyed about that phase of it. In fact, one evening out on the front porch, she says to her daughter, she says, Marion, at your age, you can't be waiting around for any white knights, you know. Well, Marion gets a little exercise at this. She says, I'm not waiting for any white knight, Mama. And she proceeds to enlighten us and her mother with just what kind of a fella she is waiting for. She's sitting right there on the steps. It's evening. And she's doing her embroidery when she starts to sing, but she puts that aside pretty soon.
My white knight, not a Lancelot, nor an angel with wings, just someone to love me, who is not ashamed of a few nice things. White knight, what my heart could say if it only knew how. Please, dear Venus, show me now. All I want is a plain man. All I want is a modest man. A quiet man, a gentleman, a straightforward and honest man to sit with me in a cottage somewhere in the state of Iowa. And I would like him to be more interested in me
and more interested in us than in me. And if occasionally he'd ponder what makes Shakespeare and Beethoven great, him I could love till I die. Him I could love till I die. White knight, not a Lancelot, nor an angel with wings, just someone to love me, who is not ashamed of a few nice things. My white knight, let me walk with him while the others ride by. Walk and love him till I die. Till I
We'll take a short break and then be back with the remainder of Meredith Wilson's writing of The Music Man. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano.
I'm Jamie Jones.
And we're having a very pleasant evening listening to an old recording of Meredith Wilson and his wife, Renee, presenting their ideas and concepts for The Music Man to producers.
Very interesting.
Very interesting historic event. And it's one of those things, like you said, you wish you were a fly on the wall at a certain point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we have a very unusual opportunity to have someone that was there, obviously, tell us in his own words what happened. And it's a great piece of history to a very iconic American musical, and it's taking place at Theater by the Sea.
Yep, you can purchase your tickets at theaterbythesea.com. It starts on the 21st with the pre-shows, and then you'll see the opening night is the 23rd and runs all the way till the 15th of July. So we got our work cut out for us.
I know. Jamie and I will be in the quartet, which was originally portrayed on Broadway and in the movie by the Buffalo Bills, longtime family friends of mine, and I've been very involved in this show. It's a pleasure and a treat to do it, but we're in everything, Jamie. We're going to be seen a lot.
We are.
Well, I mean, you know, it's wonderful, but it's also a little bit taxing, but we'll muddle through, I guess.
But these lead actors and actresses, I don't even know if you're supposed to call them actresses anymore. I think it's just actors. They're incredible, though.
Harold Hill, Marion the Librarian, the Widow Peru, the Mayor. There's some familiar faces to
the kids,
right?
The dancers.
The dancers. Everybody is. We don't want to leave anybody out, including the director, Richard Sabellico, who is doing a
marvelous
job.
He's my favorite.
I don't know if you'll hear this, Jamie, so you might not have to.
He's my favorite.
But Richard Sabellico, the director, is somebody that I did the show with 25 years ago, and ironically, we're back together again. So it's been a lot of fun. We're going to close off our show this evening with listening to the last track of Meredith Wilson and his wife, Renee, selling their show to the Broadway producers. I'm Mike Mano.
I'm Jamie Jones.
And we hope to see you at Theater by the Sea in their presentation of Music Man.
Well, now, quite a lot more things happen in this first act, including a whispering ballet right there in the library. You know, you dastn't speak above a whisper in the library. Everybody goes, shh. And Harold is in there trying to make a little time with the elusive Miss Marion. He says, Mary.
librarian. Madam librarian, what can I do, my dear, to make it clear? I love you madly, madly, Madam librarian. Marion, heaven help us if the library caught on fire and the volunteer hose brigade men had to whisper the news to Marion. Madam librarian, what can I do, my dear, to make you hear? I need you madly, madly, Madam librarian, Marion. If I stumbled and I busted my whatchamacallit, I could lie on your floor unnoticed till my body had turned to carrion. Madam librarian. Now in the moonlight, a man could sing it. In the moonlight, then a fellow would know that his darling had heard every word of his song with the moonlight helping along. But when I try in here to tell you, dear, I love you madly, madly, Madam librarian, Marion, it's a long lost cause I can never win. For the civilized world accepts as unforgivable sin any talking out loud with any librarian, such as Marion. Madam librarian.
Now, there's also the Wells Fargo wagon finale in that first act. This Wells Fargo scene, by the way, has to do with Marion's little lisping brother, Winthrop. And also it has to do with Mayor Shinn's growing suspicions that Professor Hill is a phony. There's some more gossip about Miss Marion in there, too, to the effect that she may not altogether be the innocent maiden that she appears. This development, however, only pleases Harold Hill. In his words, the sadder but wiser girl for me. No wide-eyed, eager, wholesome, innocent female. No, sir, that kind of girl spins webs no spider ever. Listen, boy, I prefer to take a chance on a more adult romance. No dewy young miss who keeps resisting all the time she keeps insisting. No wide-eyed, wholesome, innocent female. No, sir, why, she's the fisherman, I'm the fish, don't you see that? Plop, I flinch, I shy. When the last with a delicate air goes by, I smile and I grin. When the gal with a touch of sin walks in, I hope and I pray for Hester to win just one more A. The sadder but wiser girl's the girl for me. The sadder but wiser girl for me. Now, when I wrote that song, I planned it to fit together with My White Knight so that I could express these apparently contrasting views, the contrasting views of our hero and heroine, express them simultaneously, as you could say, sort of like this. Miss Marion. No wide-eyed, eager, wholesome, innocent female. No, sir, that kind of girl spins webs no spider ever. Listen, boy, I prefer to take a chance on a more adult romance. No dewy young miss who keeps resisting all the time she keeps insisting. No wide-eyed, wholesome, innocent female. No, sir, why, she's the fisherman, I'm the fish, don't you see that? Plop, I flinch and I shy. When the last of the delicate air goes by, I smile and I grin. When the gal with the touch of sin walks in, I hope and I pray for Hester to win just one more A. The sadder but wiser girl's a girl for me. The sadder but wiser girl for me.
Ha ha.
So after all that excitement, we never found the place for that counterpoint duet in the show. So now that I think of it, you album listeners have now had a little something that the theater audiences didn't get to hear. Well, moving on into the second act, you get some more dancing. For instance, you get a number called Shapoopy, which shows the Delsarte Ladies Auxiliary practicing classic attitudes under Professor Hill's direction, attitudes wherein each lady tries her best to resemble one or more Grecian urns, with a book on her head, of course, for posture. Now, a woman who'll kiss on a very first date is usually a hussy. And a woman who'll kiss on the second time out is anything but fussy. But a woman who'll wait till a third time round, a head in the clouds, feet on the ground, she's the girl you're glad you found. She's sure Shapoopy, 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 the girl who's hard to get. Shapoopy, 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 but you can win her yet. That continues on into the ballet. The school board, in the meantime, prodded by suspicious Mayor Shin, demands Professor Hill's credentials. In fact, to quote the mayor, he says, get his credentials or get him in jail. The professor gets them off the subject, however, by A, maneuvering them under a lamppost, and B, striking up a barbershop quartet song. Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose, to get the sun back in my sky. Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose, about a thousand kisses shy. Ding, dong, ding, can't you hear the chapel bell chime? Ding, dong, ding, at the least suggestion, I'll pop the question. Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose, without a sweetheart to my name. Light a rose, now everyone knows that I am hoping you're the same. So here is my love song, not fancy or fine. That's a falsetto tenor. You gotta have one in the barbershop. Light a rose, oh, won't you be mine? Well, down the street, Miss Marion is sitting on her front porch, and she is confessing her love for this gentleman, Professor Hill, to the moonlight, but, of course, inadvertently to us in the audience.
Dream of now, dream of then. Dream of a love song that might have been. Do I love you? Oh, yes, I love you. And I'll bravely tell you, but only when we dream again. Sweet and low, sweet and low, how sweet that memory, how long ago, forever, oh yes, forever, will I ever tell you, ah, no.
Down the street comes the barbershop quartet. It happens to be a lamppost in front of Miss Marion's house, so the inevitable happens.
Light a rose, of a
home again, Rose, to get the sun back in my sky. Light a rose, I'm home again, Rose, about a thousand kisses shy. Chapel bell chime, ding dong ding, at the least suggestion about the question. Light a rose, home again, Rose, without a sweetheart to my name.
light a rose. Now everyone knows that I am hoping you're the same. So here's a love song, not fancy or fine. Light a rose, oh, won't you be mine?
Yeah, you held on to that last note nicely, dear. I couldn't quite make it. Also, I was interested to see how I was going to finish that on a piano. Well, there's quite some more developments in the second act that lead to everything coming out all right in the end. And although you listeners, dear, may find this difficult to believe, Professor Hill and Miss Marion do finally fall in love right there on the footbridge. As Miss Marion puts it.
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all. You. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all till there was you. And there was music, and there were wonderful roses, they tell me, in sweet fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.